Coming to you live from Central Texas, it's Let's Talk with your host, Eric Jackson. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the great conversation. And now, here's the host of Let's Talk, Eric Jackson.
All right. Hello to each and every one of you. It's Wednesday, y'all. It's hump day. Y'all know what about hump day? That means you only have two more days. That's right. Two more days before the weekend. Whoo. Can't wait. Cannot wait. Well, how y'all doing out there today? Hey, welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Eric Jackson. And today is Whatever Wednesday. I just named it Whatever Wednesday. But that's because whatever we want to talk about, we're going to talk about. Once again, y'all, once again, guidelines are we will respect everybody, no name calling. And just let's have an adult conversation. Okay? We can do that, right? We're adults. So we can actually have a conversation like that, right? I sincerely hope so. Because sometimes we need it. Anyway, with that being said, how y'all doing out there? What y'all doing today on hump day? What y'all doing? You working hard today or barely working? I'm barely working. Y'all got to give me a moment. I'm trying to adjust my mic here because some things not going right today so far as far as this microphone. Hey, how's the weather out there? I know here, man, it is hot. You hear me? It is so hot out here today. I'm staying inside all day long, sucking up as much air as I can. That's right. Because it's hot, y'all. It's hot. It's hot, hot, hot. But it's okay. It's okay. Now, I'm set. All right. Let's see. Whoo. Let me work this out. Okay. Now, okay. I'm all settled in now. You know what I mean? Hey, I want to say welcome, guests, welcome, 2308, Mixed Emotion, and my 615. Hey, thank you for joining me today. Hey, being that today is Whatever Wednesday, I'm going to start it off, okay? And then y'all can chime in or talk about, bring up the subject you want to talk about. How about that speech last night, y'all? How about that speech last night? Wasn't that a heck of a speech? Huh? By Miss Michelle Obama, First Lady of the United States of America. Wasn't that a heck of a speech? I tell you, man, once I got finished listening to that speech, man, I wanted to go outside and do some running or something. I'm serious. I want to do some running because Miss Lady laid it down last night. I mean, she laid it down. Woo! I mean, she laid it down. You hear me? And you know what, though? You know, I had to go back. And, you know, last night I was looking at it because I said, well, I'm going to take some notes and, you know, do a little thing on it today and starting off the show. But the more I sat there and listened, the less notes I could take because I was mesmerized, man. Because the things she was saying, I'm like, wow. Not to mention how beautiful she is. Of course, that's a man's view, right? But anyway, I mean, and it was really like, wow. And you couldn't. And what about that song she came out on, y'all? Signed, sealed, and delivered by Stevie Wonder, huh? Boy, wasn't that a way to set the tone, huh? Wasn't that a way to set the tone? Signed, sealed, and delivered. Wow. I know. I'm trying to be objective, but hey, that was a heck of a song, man. I was rocking before. Look, I was dancing and carrying on before she started talking. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm for this. I know. Wow. Hey, check this out, though. That's right, Mr. Motion. She totally brought it. She sure did. She brought it last night. She was the total package. But you know what? She said something yesterday, last night, that really, yeah, I bet none of us had really thought about it. You know, we sit there and we have our great conversations, but we had never thought about something she said. You know? And let's see. She said, being president doesn't change you who you are. It reveals who you are. Now, you talking about something serious? Now, that was a serious statement right there. huh? It doesn't change it. It reveals who you are. Wow. Wow. You know what? And if a lot of us took that took that way of looking at ourselves, things probably would be a whole lot better. You know, and that's right, though. That's right. Because check this out. You know, and as you go about and you start talking about the election, and usually the election year, it brings out a lot of things from your friends that you never knew. You never do. So I guess you can say during the election year, it don't make who you are. It just reveals who you are, right? Yeah, I'm using her saying, but it can be used in life. Really. That's like pressure. Like pressure. You know, it don't tell who you are, but it reveals who you are, right? Don't make who you are, but it reveals who you are. Because some people just can't handle pressure and some can. Ha, that's right. Hey, what about her definition of what a man was about, you know, when she was speaking with her dad, about her dad? That was just something that I really enjoyed. You know, just the way that she personalized things last night. Can you imagine sitting in a rusty car, ladies? Can you imagine getting picked up by your man in a rusty car and you can look out the side door where rust is and see the road going by like you're in the Flintstones? Most of y'all wouldn't you want to ride in that car, would you? I know you wouldn't. But it's okay. It's okay. But see, that's the thing, though. You know, and the way she brought it was so beautiful and elegantly. You know, because it just said to say it. You know, it's not about what you have. You know, it's not. A lot of people would disagree on that. That's fine. That is fine. You know, hey. What y'all think? And you know what? The other thing that she really said that really made a whole lot of sense that I think a lot of people have forgotten about is change takes time. It's not something that happens overnight. And you know what? A lot of us forget that because we are this generation, this society now is so self-gratificated and we want it now. We got to have it right now that we forget. Change takes time. You know, and if you're a manager, think about it. I'm going to break it down like this. If you're a manager, right, and you got a group of people and a whole new administration come in, right, and then they want to change everything you're doing from the systems you're using to the procedures you're using, there's always one person that's fighting it, right? And, of course, as you implement that new system, apparently, you know, it keeps going, you know, and there's going to be bumps in the road. There's going to be problems with the system. But eventually over time, everything smooths out and everything is fine. And that's what it is about change. And that's what mainly her speech was about last night. You know, everybody talking about, well, within 4 years, things. Well, what you think? Things weren't going to get better in 4 years when it took 12 to 16 years to mess them up. Really? And everybody wanted it to happen in 4 years? It's not going to happen like that. It's not. Of course, once again, as I said before, this is my opinion. You know, so it's not Blog Talk Radio's opinion. It's Eric Jackson's opinion. Okay? I'm just putting that out there. So, you know what? And I just had to say that, too. Because a lot of us, we have forgotten. And for us black folk, the man can't do everything for us. He has a country to run. Let me go and put it out there like that. Okay? He has a country to run. But did y'all really pay attention last night to the atmosphere? You know, it was really wild, man. Because while she was talking, I beginning, you see them ladies, them old sisters up in there rocking a little bit? Like they're back in church and they was getting a good message. I know y'all didn't pay that no attention, but I did. No, I be looking at things like that. I really did. But it was great, man. It was really great. I loved her speech. You know, I did. And how many of y'all knew there was a what the Lilly Ledbetter Act is? Huh? Have you ever heard of that before? Before last night? For the ones that actually listened to the speech? Did any of y'all really know what that was before last night? Well, if you did, that's great, because you was ahead of me on that one. But y'all know me. I got to, if I hear it, I got to go and figure out what it's about. You know, I really do. I have to know what it's about. And with that being said, let me give y'all some information exactly what on the Ledbetter thing was. It's the first piece of legislation that President Obama signed once he got into office. Okay, and it basically was about Lady Ledbetter. That's the lady's real name. And at the end of her 19-year career as a supervisor in a tire factory, okay, good year, she complained that she had been paid less than men. All right, now what happened was the Supreme Court ruled against her. However, Congress approved the legislation that expands workers' rights to sue in this kind of case, relaxing the statute of limitations. Now, let me tell you why the Supreme Court ruled against her. Because they said she should have filed her suit within 180 days of the date that Goodyear first paid her, less than her peers. Does that make sense, y'all? No, not at all. But anyway, in the 5-4 decision that the Supreme Court said. So, now what happened was Congress tried to pass this law while George Bush was in office, something like that. But, of course, it was overturned, you know, because they were opposed to the bill. So, okay. So, basically, what happened is opponents continue with encouraged lawsuits and argue, yeah, 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 yeah. Okay, but here's the catch. The new Congress passed the bill, okay, when President Obama came to office. And basically what it says is, okay, if you realize that you're getting paid less than your male counterparts for doing the same job now don't think, let me clarify, for doing the same job, working side by side with them, or even, you know, instead of having to file within that 180 days of the date you get your first paycheck and you realize it, every time you receive a paycheck, the clock restarts for a six-month period. So each time you get a paycheck, you know, you have 6 months. If you realize that somebody is making more than you, you have 6 months to file a suit. Okay, so basically that's the meat of the Lilly Ledbetter Act. You know, of course, she couldn't get anything from it because why? She had stopped working for him, and her time was that she wasn't getting paid anymore. But she said she was happy. You know, she didn't, it wasn't about the money, but she was happy that, you know, somebody else out there wouldn't be mistreated like that. So that is what the Lilly Ledbetter Act is about, y'all. So now we all learned something today, right? That's right. All right, now. You know, going back to Ms. Obama's speech, let me tell you, man, you know, and those who listen to my show, y'all know I'm all about, you know, okay, I say one thing, but I have to go and get some feedback or something, you know, to see what's really being said out there. And I found a few statements out there, man, that was really interesting as responses to her speech. Now, here's one. That, you know what, I'll let y'all determine what it is. I'll let y'all tell me what it was about. Okay, here it is. Evidently, I am supposed to be impressed by Barack Obama's rusty car and poverty. I ought to feel some sort of kinship toward Mrs. Obama because her family had to take out loans to pay for her college tuition. It would seem that she is endeavoring to identify with me, specifically as a middle-class woman in her DNC speech. Well, call me crazy, but I don't. I don't identify with Michelle Obama because I don't want to be picked up in a rusty car. I want to drive my own car, and I would prefer to be in a nice one. I also don't think we ought to be encouraging all young people to take out student loans that will hang over their heads for a good portion of their adult life. Not all children want to go to college. And that's just, you know, one person's take on it. But only thing I could say was, really? You know, was she really listening to the same speech the rest of us was listening to? But you know what I kind of found out too? You know, sometimes there's just people that's going to do what they want to do. You know, I mean, no matter what you do, they're going to do what they want to do. here's another one. As a first-generation college student struggling to make payments on my student loans, I felt Michelle Obama's speech was extremely inspiring. She mentioned in her presentation that the presidency does not change people. Instead, it reveals who they are. I completely agree because President Obama has not forgotten his lower income background. Because he lowered the percentage rate on student loans, I was already leaning toward voting for Obama-Biden ticket, but Michelle's speech clinched that decision for me, reminded me that Obama continues to help the middle class, that someone like me who comes from a lower income background can still be very successful. Now, that was a whole different version from the first response I read. That goes to show, you just can't please everybody. You know, you just can't please everybody. And then some people are just stubborn enough to, I don't care how well, you know, something is done, they just not buying it. They really aren't. So it is what it is, y'all. But I did want to talk about that, you know, starting off today, because I thought it was very, 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 very nice speech last night. I thought it was really touching. And did you see the tears in her eyes? You know, so that told me she was passionate about what she was saying. You know, she was passionate. She was really, really emotional. That was an outstanding move. I love that. You know, now I don't know how many of y'all agree with me. That's fine. You don't have to. I'm just giving my aspect of it. Now, I do welcome, you know, if you want to go ahead and tell me what you think about it, I'd be more than happy to listen to it. Of course, please remember now, let's not get carried away and let's be respectful when we do, you know, listen to everybody's opinion, because that's what it's about. All right. Well, I have said my gist of it. And I am through. So now I'm opening the floor up to my faithful listeners. Hey, give me a call at 347-838-8622 if you want to join in the conversation. Hit me up on my email at ericletstalk@gmail.com or go in my chat room. We usually have some great conversations in the chat room as well. You know, just sign into your social media site. And log in. Hey, and join me in the chat room. Okay? Now, all that being said, what's on y'all mind today? Huh? I told y'all what I wanted to talk about. And I have talked about that now for almost 20 minutes. So I'm through with that. What's on your mind today, people? It's whatever Wednesday. So whatever's on your mind, let it be known. Talk about it. Let's go with it. This train is ready to ride. Huh? So, you know what, while I'm waiting on somebody to come up with an idea, tell me, y'all, what was the difference between Miss Romney's, wait a minute, before I go there, hey, y'all know another thing about President Mrs. Obama's speech last night that I really love, and I don't know if y'all really was paying attention, we're going to see. Number one, she had a military mom, an actual military mom open up and give her open, introduce her. That was awesome, man. That was really awesome. As a veteran, I really appreciated that, you know, because that shows, I mean, she wrote these people a letter. This lady wrote them a letter. You know what I mean? They wrote her, and they invited her to the White House. That was cool. That was outstanding. You know, you can't ask for anything better than that. But you know what? During her speech last night, you know, she covered a lot of things that a lot of people didn't. Her speech was so good it could mesmerize you. Like I said before, I had to go back today, this morning, and re-listen to it, watch it again, you know, to pick up the points that I wanted to say. But during that cover, now during her whole speech, she covered healthcare, abortion, education, economics, same-sex couples, togetherness, and the military. Now she did all that. In her speech last night, she touched on each one of those subjects, but it was so smooth and heartwarming, and you didn't really realize that what she's talking about unless you just, you know, like me, had to pay attention. But, you know, it was cool. You know, in the chat room, we got, she gave visual pictures. Her speech, you could actually see her dad getting up and going to work and coming home. You could see the military families from her usage of words. Lessons learned, you are absolutely correct. And that's what I'm talking about. You know, it was a speech where you not only could feel it, but you can see what she was talking about. You know, I could see her riding in a car with Barack looking out the window, seeing the rogue, I mean, out the door, seeing the car go by. I mean, the rogue go by. You know, and that's what a speech is supposed to be about. It really is. It really is. Wow. Hey, she's not the first lady for nothing, right? Y'all know what, though? Actually, I thought, and I think if she ran for president, she may get it too, huh? I'm just saying, y'all. I'm just saying, calm down, you people out there. Calm down. It's okay. It's okay. Now, without that, but I'm through with that now. I'm through with that. I have said what I had to say about the speech. So what y'all got out there for me? 615-662. What y'all got out there for me today? Chat room. Let's get busy, y'all. 111. I know who you are. But check this out. So with the speech, her speech being this way, and how many of y'all went listened to Mitt Romney's wife, Ms. Romney's speech last week? You know, but you know, if you now, this is my opinion. I want to know what y'all think about that though. But if you listen to the two of them, those were totally two different things. And you're right, lessons learned. It was full of stories, but it lacked the personal stuff. It lacked the passion, you know, that Michelle Obama had. You know, you just, I mean, you know what, you know, it was like, how can I say, you know what Michelle Obama was going to talk about. You knew about that. Just like you knew what Ms. Romney was going to talk about. But for some reason, these two speeches just had a whole different feel about it. It's like one was trying so hard and the other one just telling you the truth. I mean, that's the way I looked at it, okay? That's the way I looked at it. You know, and yeah, that's right, Miss Lala. All I remember was Romney saying, "We love moms." Yeah, that's it. Lessons learned, say, it was like Mrs. Romney was just telling stories, but it still felt the audience... left all as confused as who Mitt Romney was. You're right. And, you know, I don't know. This is going to be a tight race, that's for sure. But the first ladies, you know, if they made it, you know, if people were depending on, you know, the first ladies to help them determine who they're going to vote for, I definitely would say Mrs. Obama won that battle. You know. Well, of course, why wouldn't she? Why was she was a lawyer, right? She's a lawyer at one time, right? So she know how to speak. He knows how to speak. He probably taught her a little bit. And then check this out. And to top everything off, what they do, they cut to the president sitting on the couch with his two daughters sitting next to him, watching his wife give a speech. Wasn't that a beautiful shot? Now, I know it may be all planned and strategic, but you can't, you got to admit, that was a heck of a speech, and just seeing him sitting there was even better. You know, even though he couldn't be there, he was there with his daughters to make sure for their first day of school the next day, because one was starting high school. Hey, that's a father, right? And you know what? Here's one more thing, y'all. Let's see, lesson learned, say, with Mrs. Obama, she told the story of who President Obama was through her eyes. She allowed us to see into their lives as looking to the White House. She told his values and who he was before being the president and then him as a president. Hoo-da-hoo. Hey. You know what? I like that so much. I'm going to give you a hand clap on that one. Because you know what? That is so right. Yeah, you're right about that one. You're welcome. You know what? But you know what? That is outstanding, though. That's really outstanding. I really enjoyed it. I did. But you know what, though? Here's another thing, y'all. Listening to the two parties, right? I know it's a lot of mudslinging, but once again, one party keeps going back and saying, "Well, compared to this past years and years ago, this is what happened. Well, what about, you know, I understand what happened in the past. That's fine and dandy. But you tell me what you're going to do for me in the future. Huh? What y'all think about that? I want to know what you're going to do for me in the future. What you going to do about my kids' education in the future? You know, what you going to do about my pocketbook in the future? What are you going to do to make this country just a better place, period, in the future? Okay, what happened in the past is the past. Ain't that what we say all the time, people? What's in the past is in the past. So why do we have to sit here and listen to politicians and all them going about what happened in the past? Fine, we know that already. We've lived that. So tell me, what are we going to do for the future? Huh? What are we going to do for the future? You know, this so-called American dream. How are we going to get back to everybody being able to what? Have the American dream. Now the parameters of the American dream may change. They just might. But what are you going to do from here on? Because for things in the past, we should have learned from that already. And in some instances, we know nobody they haven't. But that's a good thing. Because still what's going on is still in the past. So tell me, what are we going to do for the future? Now, Mitt Romney last week said when him and Ryan get in office, they're going to create 12,000 jobs, right? Check this out, y'all. There's already a bill that's set going to effect in 2012 that will what? Create 12,000 jobs. So what the heck is he talking about? See, those are the things I'm saying, y'all. Y'all need to go back and do some research and really check in on what these folks be saying. You know, because some of these numbers are fudge and some of them just taken and twisted. I mean, you really need to check that out. Lessons learned say we got to focus on the kids because we got to pass the torch. In order to do that, we got to put aside our indifferences. We have to focus on education and put it as a priority. You are absolutely right. And that's my point exactly. You know, and even in her speech last night, Ms. Obama did speak about, you know, not just about partisanship, just being together, you know. Why are we fighting each other? Because you're a Republican, you know, I'm a Democrat, you're a moderate Republican, I'm a moderate liberal. What the heck is all that about? Aren't we supposed to be Americans? Aren't we supposed to be able to work together? Yeah, everybody's not going to work together. But on the important issues as far as what's going on with this country, really? You know what? And y'all didn't know, Paul Ryan, he's trying to pass a legislation that will the Federal Reserve, to make the Federal Reserve be able to be audited and let know what's going on. So, again, we're getting into some things. I don't know if we should. You know what I mean? Lessons learned. We have to get feedback from educators. The No Child Left Behind Act really didn't help the educators or the kids, but rather hurt them. Educators have got to have their voices heard because they are the ones who give their time. They understand what works and what doesn't. Now, you know what? Now, see, lessons learned. She on my point with this education thing. And you know what? I agree with you on that. That child, No Child Left Behind, is garbage. It is garbage. Mr. Motion said, I totally agree because our black kids have to be armed with the necessary tools such as education. Thank you. I mean, it's garbage. It is garbage. These tax tests or STAR tests or whatever the heck it's called in your state, they're garbage. They're so bad. There's I know last count it was like 11 states, no, 16 states that have applied for waivers or vouchers, as they call them, so they can stop giving these old crazy tests. Because they are definitely taken away from what our kids are being taught. Because most school systems, they're not trying to teach our kids anything. They're teaching our kids what they needed to supposedly pass these dang on tests. That's the nurse. It doesn't make sense to pass acts that is not going to work. We got to pass acts that is going to work. And that's my point exactly. You know, everybody talking about the future, but we should be learning from the future as far as our education. You know what I mean? We should. The vouchers that the schools are involved in are actually working. Look at the data. I know they are, because you can get back to actually teaching. You know, and here's another thing about education, people. Here's another thing. Look, a lot of y'all out there, and now I'm not saying this is a negative way. I'm just stating this as a fact. If it pertains to you, think about it. If it don't, okay. But, you know, in a lot of cases, Lessons Learned is really on it and making a very valid point. I totally agree with you. Okay, Ms. Turner. Now, check this out, y'all. Too many of us out there are relying on the teachers and just the school system, period, to educate our children. Now, here's my point about education. It's fine, but if you're not backing it up at home or even starting it at home, then there's a gap somewhere that your child is going to miss out on as far as their education. Because they're only with that, school, what, maybe eight hours a day, and that's it? But what about when they get home from school? Huh? What about when they get home from school? Are you out there helping them with their homework? Just introducing them to something different. Sitting down and reading a book with them. Are we as parents doing that? Just to learn and say, yes, we got to make learning fun. We got to get back to what works. Look at when our grandparents were in school. They actually had respect for teachers. They actually were learning and understanding the importance of learning. You're right. If not, you got the black beat off of you. Well, I'm sorry. I ain't going to say that, y'all. You got your head knocked in. Mr. Motion says, which also brings to light the parent responsibility to assure for themselves that their child is doing what they need to do to get that education. Outstanding. And you're right. You're right. And they say half the time they aren't even talking to their children, let alone studying with them. Another valid point. The teachers actually took part in making sure the parents were in touch as well as the community. And once again, there's another part of the foundation right there. It takes a village to raise a child. And you know what? Check this out, y'all. Because if the foundation is broken, nothing else is going to stand, right? Right? I think that's what the Bible say. And it's so true. It is so true. Hold on, y'all. I got a call in the room. Let me see what this caller got on their mind today. Good afternoon. You on Let's Talk. What's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going, Eric? Hey, tell those people to get out of that chat room and call you. Why do they just chat when they should? Don't we talk about how uncommunicative we have become, how out of touch we are? Tell them to call in. Get on the phone.
Well, you have to understand, some of these folks are at work, Mr. Solution, so they can only sit there and talk in the chat room. I know some of them, and they're at work, so, you know. And plus, some of them say it's easier to type in the chat room. But, yeah, I do agree. Yeah, most of them are at work, though. Yeah, see, I am actually at work right now. So that's probably why a lot of them don't call in.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, anyway.
You were giving your synopsis of the speech last night. I happen to like Michelle, and like the fact mainly that Barack became president. You know, he's considered. I didn't get one of those newspapers. I think they're worth a lot. In other words, when he won the presidency for the first time, and I might say, looking at BBC and other news agencies, they were focused on the racial issue, because all that other stuff is just mundane crap. You know, politicians are rock stars. You know, that makes no sense whatsoever. But we allow that, by the way. We allow that foolishness, that madness to take place. But Barack is not really, in my opinion, I don't understand that he's doing anything for blacks. He's taking them for granted on the order that he is doing for even the illegal aliens or children who came here with parents that were illegal. He passed an executive order which gave a reprieve on their being deported and also allows them to compete with native citizens. So that's not good at all. And I think blacks are just enamored with the symbolism of Barack being in office. In other words, he doesn't have to do anything for them, just his being there. And to a degree, I understand that because of the novelty of his being in office and the unfairness and the illegality that occurred in years past of blocking, of course, blacks and other ethnicities out of, you know, out of the power structure, even though they paid taxes, and, you know, it benefited whites to receive black labor to increase white wealth. But blacks should be a little bit more forward-thinking than that, as every group should be, and demand that he do something for them. Now, agreed, he's very limited in what he can do, and you and I spoke of this before, that what you get from your political system should be done at the local level. That's where most of your power can be exercised, and that's where you always receive your, you know, your benefits in terms of goods and or services. So, but yeah, well, that was a production last night. Now, one of the other issues is, and I was looking at an article that came out, and it had to do about relationships. I don't know if you remember the slew of articles that came out dealing with the relationship paradigm. Everybody was asking, you know, like what single women can learn from Michelle. That was an article done back in June of 2009, and it said, would most type A professional women have dated Barack when he was a broke, big-eared organizer with a funny name? And, of course, you touched upon that. And one of the lady who wrote the article said, speaking of Michelle, she must have focused on an abundance of goodness instead of his hint of goofiness, and fixated on a warm smile instead of a pair of oversized ears. And she even acknowledges that Michelle had something, or had something, that most of the women who are clamoring, and this, I think she was referring to so-called professional black women, she was saying that Michelle has a quality that they don't. And I think you referenced it when you talked about and I've heard that story before about his driving a rust bucket or a bucket.
Right.
And she got in there with him, and most women wouldn't do that today. And let me just say this. Most women don't have to do that today. There are guys who are above the level of Obama. Now, I think it's seminal to look at how Michelle was looking at his qualities, which means she had qualities to be able to look at his character and to, you know, work with him and cooperate with him. But many women have a much better opportunity than, say, Barack, and they still don't accept that. So I often say that a woman who can't find a man in this age, something is wrong with her attitude, character, personality, and or weight.
Okay. Okay, Ms. Solution. Hold on for a minute. We got a lot of stuff going on here in the chat room I want to get to, okay?
Sure.
I apologize for any interruptions, G, but I want to get this, why these thoughts on my mind here. Okay, let's see. Chat room, I'm coming to you. I see you. Y'all really going. Okay, let's see what we got. The statistics for President Obama: promises that he made 598, only kept 38%. However, the media is not looking at how many Republicans, let's see where we at, Republicans have blocked bills that he was trying to pass. Also, how much they have filibustered his bills. If the media is going to tell the news, please tell all spectrums instead of telling one side. Their job is to tell the news, whether it's good or bad. That is why it is so important for people to research the information for themselves. True. The media only wants to talk about the points that bring the ratings. Does he always have to hog the show from now on? People should be allowed to make 2 points. Okay. All right. Okay. Now, let's go. Let's go back to the media. That's what I want to get back to. The president. Yeah. You know what? That is true. And you know, as far as the Republicans. But, you know, it's just wasn't the Republicans. You know, it's some Democrats also. And maybe it's just, I'm not going to say it's conspiracy, but I don't know. Now, as far as, but Mr. Solution, now, I need to get back to you, too. Now, you were saying that Michelle.
Well, I can also say, since we got, you know, maybe some buttheads mouthing off, if they're at work, they should probably be working. They shouldn't be in the chat room.
Maybe
if they can't, if they're, and then they're going to mouth off, they better keep cool, because if you're at work, you're spending someone else's money on when you should be working, right? Is that right, Eric?
That's the way it's supposed to go. But
well,
some of them say, some of them
need
say, I work for
shut
myself.
Up. If they can't get on the line, they need to go back to work. Sure, they're not working in the chat room. Are you paying any of them, Eric?
No, I'm not. But Mr.
Solution. There you go. So they need to shut up. They need to shut up.
All right, Mr. Solution.
Yeah, that's what I said.
All right. Okay. But let's get back to what you're talking about with Michelle, though. Okay, Michelle. And you say she has certain.
And let me just ask you. Okay, yeah. Michelle is. Look, let me give you a scripture. I have a scripture here, and that I suspect that's a woman that lesson something learned. I work for myself. Well, I wouldn't be a customer of hers since she's mouthing off. I wouldn't buy anything from her. I'm her supervisor as a member, as a potential customer, right?
Well, I wouldn't. I mean, if she was mouthing off. I mean,
I think she's the one. And let me, by the way, I think that's a woman. Do you know if Lesson Learned is a woman?
No, I do not. I have no idea who some of these people are. So, no, I
okay,
can't say if it's a woman or not.
Yeah, I think that, let me read this scripture hurriedly, because I think Lesson Learned violates the hell out of this scripture. It talks about here in 1 Peter 3, and I'm sure she would probably call herself a Christian, but it says here in 1 Peter 3, chapter 4, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable qualities of a gentle and quiet spirit, that which is precious in the sight of God. And that's what most American women don't have, and particularly your black women. They don't have a gentle and quiet spirit. And God doesn't even like the way they act.
But okay, I don't know if you can generalize and put every black woman in that.
I didn't say every. I'm sorry. Let me just specify.
Yeah.
Most of them, the vast majority, I'm going to peg it at about 90%. That's the reason they're not married. And Eric, you're single. There's got to be a reason that you're single. If you found a great woman, you said you're a great guy. If you found a great woman, you would girlfriend her up, right?
Well, yeah. Well, I guess
okay,
I would have to
there
put,
you go.
I guess I would have to put myself in the market first, though. I'm sure it's one out there. I just haven't been looking.
But why not? Well, why wouldn't you be looking? You would want one. You understand the value of a great partner, correct?
Yes. Oh, yes. I mean, I've had some great partners, but, you know, just my little personal intricacies or my personal little issues I have is not conducive to a relationship right now.
Okay, hold on.
We have another caller waiting to get in. So hold on. Good afternoon. You're on Let's Talk. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Eric? What's going
on, brother?
I'm
doing fine. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking. How you doing, Mr. Solutions?
Oh, hold on. Wait a minute. Sorry. Okay. She didn't hear you, Mr. Solution.
Oh, I just said I'm doing fine. How are you?
Yes, I'm well. I'm well. Thank you for asking. Let me ask a couple questions to Mr. Solution, if you don't mind, Eric.
Okay. All right. No problem. Go ahead.
Mr. Solution, are you dating anybody right now?
No. Okay, what's your point? Eric is not dating either. So you got to understand the point that I'm making is a larger point. It's a mega point.
Okay.
It's a
reason that I'm asking is because you sound angry. Are you angry?
Oh, no, I'm passionate. I'm glad you asked that question.
Okay.
Right, because you don't know me, and
right.
all you know is what you think you perceive. No, I'm not. Wait a minute. Yes, there is an anger at wrongness, at inappropriateness. Yes, there is an anger at that. And presumably you're angry at things that are bad also, correct?
Well, I have my own opinions about what's good and bad and right and wrong, but
I understand, but things that you define as bad, I'm assuming that you have anger at the badness, correct?
You know what? Actually, I don't, because I can't control things that I don't seek to try to control things that are beyond my control. So when you get to a place where you don't feel the need to control it, then it can't anger you.
Do you think anger is ever appropriate? If you know what anger is, do you think it's ever appropriate?
I think it's appropriate, but I don't think that that's the first line of defense a person has to go to.
Okay, fine. We agree on
okay.
that. We agree on that.
Yeah, I would
now,
agree on that also.
The reason I was asking is because when I hear you, and I'm not talking about Eric, the reason that I didn't address Eric is because I don't hear Eric at his inflammatory statements regarding women as I do you.
What's
so
inflammatory?
Before you go on,
would you please cite what is inflammatory? What's not true and is inflammatory?
The barrage of statements regarding women and the need to say...
Do you understand specificity? Specifically, what did I say?
Can you not...
Okay.
Let me say this to you, because I want to have a cordial... civil conversation.
Right. That's
and the infamous bait and switch is not going to work with me today. I've been observing your behavior long enough to know that you say things a certain way to elicit a response. And one of those ways is to dictate the conversation. And I'm supposed to be the angry black woman to say, you don't tell me what to do. What I am going to say is I need you to respect me and allow me to say it, even if it doesn't sound the way you want me to say it, but let me express myself. Can you let me be myself?
Well, sure, but I would
can you
like.
Do that?
Wait a minute. When you accuse me of something, I would like for you to be specific.
Okay, but the thing is this: I'm expressing it the way I need to express it to get my thoughts out. And if you want to sit there and try to do this dictating, what's going to happen is going to kind of throw my thoughts up, and then I'm not going to be able to express what I need to say, and then you'll be able to interject when you see me not having the strength right there to express. I've watched you do this before, and I'm not going to get angry about it. What I'm going to do is just click out and let Eric and you have the show, and then I don't have to say anything because I'm going to respect you enough that if I can't get out what I need to say, I'll just leave you alone, and that's what I need to do as a woman. So it's up to you. Hello?
Okay. Dude. All right. What happened? We didn't got quiet?
Okay. Now, the thing I was saying was the inflammatory statements regarding women as they're not a certain way, they don't behave a certain way. When Eric decided to say, well, you can't say that about all women, you were like, well, you're right. This happened, what is today, Wednesday? It happened on Monday, and it kind of went there yesterday on Tuesday. And I'm saying, I don't know what you're looking for, where you look to find women. My thing is this: take the time to find a woman that is more suited to you. But here's something else that I don't know if you look or can even consider, Mr. Solution. How do you present yourself to women?
Hello. Okay. Do we lose contact?
I guess so.
Okay. Well, hold on. Let me bring Lessons Learned on the line from Mississippi. Mm-hmm. Hello, lessons learned. You on Let's
Hello,
Talk.
Is Mr. Solutions gone?
No, I'm here.
No, he's
I'm
there.
I'm simply listening.
Okay, then. I was trying to respect my clients and everything, but since you were trying to call me out, I'm present for the moment. I might have to go back off, but I know that you wanted to quote Bible scriptures and everything, but you were just gearing it to use it to, as your point and to sing out a particular gender, particularly female, but the Bible didn't specify whether it was female or male. It would apply to everybody. And
no, the scripture,
the Bible,
I was...
Hold up, I didn't cut you off.
No, 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 but you said something,
no,
so I'm
no,
responding
I'm not,
to it. You're
no,
wrong
I'm
in what you just said.
Ms. Solution, can I finish my point? I'm not going to get on the phone and argue with you.
Finish.
Now, I'm going to say what I got to say, and when I'm done, you have the floor or the air. Now, since you want to quote the Bible, and I know that you read, first of all, God is love, and I don't hear any love coming out your mouth right now. You're very authoritative, very angry, for lack of a better word. I guess you lacked affection growing up or something. I don't know. And you're very hostile when it comes to women. Anything that has to do with a woman, you just go off. But since you read the word like I do, Proverbs says, Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So your words are harsh, so now you're trying to stir up anger, which you're not going to get. So what I suggest you do, if you like to take suggestions and criticism, but I don't think you do because you like to give it. You don't like to be on the receiving end. I take what you say. I'm hearing you. I don't have to like it. But you don't have to be so angry and so forceful when it comes to women. I can respect you. But it seems like you deal with a lot of women that's now on your level. You deal with, for lack of a better word, girls, and then you want to try to generalize all women like that because you're dealing with girls that's now on your level. They don't have your salary status, your status quo. They don't meet that, but then you want to tell all women that they like that. I think this woman in chat room said Mr. Solution is like a Tyler Perry movie. Girl, now that's a good one. So, I mean, you, I don't want
right, now,
to fit your box.
Wait a minute. The personal attacks are not called for. You're talking about the statements that I make. Now, if you make personal attacks, I have a few that I can marshal also.
No, I wasn't
well,
making
no,
an attack.
No, no, there would be no personal attack.
Room.
Yeah, well, just warn them of that because they are very they get very personal. She's talking about my childhood. She knows nothing about my childhood.
Ooh, look at you. Calm down. It's okay. Whew, that really got up on your skin.
No, it didn't. I'm just clearing the air.
Huh?
I'm just clearing the air. I know how mouthy some people can be,
okay,
and they're not factual. I am.
Okay, then. So do you have a good relationship with your mother?
Okay, that's none of your business.
Obviously not, because you didn't say yes. That's what it's coming from.
Really, I do. It's still none of your business.
Okay, let's move on from that one.
Yes. However, you're very angry, and there's no call for it. Every day you get on the show, since I've been on, you're very angry toward women. All women does not fit your box of what a woman is. That's all I'm saying. Stop generalizing us.
Well, now, Eric, this is the point. See, the thing of it is, if you can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
The thing of it is, let me just say this very candidly. With people who are not into problem solving, you can't say anything about their behavior. Now, if I were giving them something they wanted to hear, it would be perfect. I'm not calling names. I'm just talking about issues. I even quote from the Bible, they say that they understand. Now, the context of the scripture that she just gave about a soft answer turneth away wrath, that is like when you're speaking to people, you're not in a problem-solving mode. You're interrupting. I didn't interrupt you. Obey your own rules.
Okay.
what happens is that we can't discuss any issues if an individual is going to come with this mamby-pamby. Well, you're angry. Anger is passion plus love. I'm not angry to the sense that I'm doing something inappropriate. I'm just bearing down on behavior, on issues. There are plenty of issues out there. You guys get in fights with guys. You're distant from guys. Most of you are single, and you don't even want to address why. You just want to go along, you know, with the program, no matter how dysfunctional it is. Well, someone has to stand up and sound the alarm bell. Now, generally, if you don't want to hear it, that's fine. If you just want to hear nice stuff while the ship is sinking, you just want to be rearranging the deck chairs, then proceed as you're doing. I'm sure you can get a lot of conversation from a lot of men who will kiss up to you, who won't bring any of your inconsistencies and dysfunctionalities. They won't bring that out. But I do bring it out. It's not all women, but it's an overwhelming majority of women. And that's what you can't handle the truth. You don't want to face the truth. You should just sit back and let your wisdom be your silence. You don't know what you're talking about in the vast majority of instances. And you should just listen.
Okay. Let's back up a bit. I mean, I understand what you're saying, Mr. Solution, but, you know, that's one thing, even though I don't know what she may not know what she's talking about, then she may know what she's talking about. However, but what I'm saying is, you know, that's what conversation is for, you know.
And let me tell you this, Eric, exactly. It's better for us to fight it out here where no one really gets hurt, because it's going to be a fight. Anytime you tell women about accountability, for the most part, there are a few women who are exceptions, but they don't want to be accountable for anything. Now, yesterday was great. We had a fight, but the women ended up role-playing, initiating conversation. They started out, they didn't want to do that. They were saying, you're the man, you should do that. They were little Hitlers. They were dictatorial, and they were totalitarianistic. And the thing of it is just now, if you get in a relationship with one of these modern-day women, it's hell. That's the reason men are not choosing to be with them. They're avoiding them.
Okay, well, I don't know about that, because I'm not avoiding none of them.
The point of it is, Eric, you're not in a relationship. That's the point. If we were to, now we could analyze this, but the point of it is when Joe says, you heard Joe say, between 95 and 99% of women don't make good girlfriend and good wife material. What did you understand that to mean? And we were talking about American women.
Well, I understood that to mean that that there was some issues between the man and the female. Basically, ain't no conversation going on. That's what
Understood. But when you look at it on a more of a micro level, Eric, there are things that individuals are doing that cause that situation. Now, look, we can go on and just talk about smooth.
I would say, but couldn't that be both ways?
Well, it could be, but we have to determine if it is.
Eric, how many men statistically are black men that are locked up in prison right now?
Statistics was like damn near 70%. I think I
so
did.
So you got 70% of women not married that are black, and 70% of men in prison.
Let me go and pull up my stats on that one. Y'all go ahead. I'll be right back.
How many women are in prison, how many women are lesbian, how many women are dysfunctional, antisocial, and sociopathic.
And when you do that, look the same thing up for men, because you know But the point I'm trying to make is that when you say that there are a lot of women that are not good girlfriends or not good wives, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be respectful in the way that I say this. You can't be in a relationship if you want to control the relationship, be it man or be it woman.
Right.
And what I hear is a lot of, you're supposed to conduct yourself like this. And if you don't conduct yourself, it sounds so elementary, and it's so repugnant to me to hear. And as I listen to this, this is not about allowing a woman to be a woman. This is about a woman should conduct herself as I think she should. And then when we hear what Joe has to say, Joe's not here. And I would like to hear Mr. Solution address something about women that you have found to be true for you, as opposed to swinging off of the words of another man. I think that most of this is about, you know, I don't know if you're insecure. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know why you feel the need to, when I call, or any other woman for that matter, there is this need to dictate how the person is supposed to speak. That's not going to work with women when you want to tell them how to act. They're grown. And I think that that will bring a level of hostility from them towards you. And do you want that? I mean, are you looking for solutions, Mr. Solution, or are you looking for more problems? Because if that's the case, then your name is so oxymoron to what you bring to the table.
All right. Let me know when you finish, because I'm going to give you the answer, and then we can wrap it up and go home. You have to ask yourself that question. And let me give you the answer right now, because I do live up to my name. Okay? Now, communication is vital for any relationship from its inception to its continuance. What modern-day women have to do, is simply be more willing to be social and initiate stranger contact. That's it, right there. That's it.
Mr. Solution.
Wait a minute. Did you hear what I just said before
I heard you.
Okay.
I heard you, and I'm asking you a question. Do you know me?
Yes, I know you from your conversation. Sure, I do.
Do you
now,
know
before
me
you
from...
start asking these
no,
questions,
no,
you
no.
tell
See
me.
See how you do?
Okay.
The reason I'm asking
I'm still talking,
is because
please,
when you say a woman needs to initiate a
what?
Certain level of conversation, I have been doing my best to do this with you, and I don't feel like you want to meet me halfway. I don't feel like you say, I don't think that you believe in your own words as much as you want to tell everybody else what they have to do.
Okay, let me tell you what I'm talking about so you won't misconstrue it. What I'm talking about is women meeting strangers. Just like men have to come up to you and talk to you, initiate communication with you to get things started, that's what I'm saying that you all have to do. Now, presumably, I think I heard you say you were married, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so that doesn't apply to you. So notice what I'm saying, something that's
on the
very
contrary, when I met this man, do you know how we met?
Okay,
I
but
met him through
that,
a friend, and I let him know that I was into him.
How'd you let him know?
I let him know.
How? H-O-W.
I spoke those words.
Oh, okay. Okay, fine. And that's all I'm saying. Look. If you and I had a chance to, and we're having a conversation right now, and you took the time to hear what I'm saying, other than acting emotionally, you would agree. You would agree. Because you just said you did what I'm suggesting. You opened conversation.
You know what? I said I agree a while back, so when you download this show and you play it back, you'll hear me say, I agree.
Okay, great. Well, we're in agreement.
The point is that if you say that I'm not listening and you're so belligerent to say that, you're adamant and you say all of, over and over, you just won't listen, you won't open your mind to see that I'm
okay,
listening.
Okay, I got it now. That's superfluous. I got what you said. You said you agree. I agree with what you said. I'm just simply saying that's like walking. Has to be done more to improve the communication paradigm. That's all I'm saying.
And you know what? The more and you know what? The more we talk here, you know what? It goes to show that there is a lot of communication that needs to be really done, because for some reason we do have trouble talking to each other. And that's not just women, that's men too. And I don't know what it is. Is it the difference in perception of what's supposed to happen compared to what should happen? But
some of it
know,
is more about people that actually bring their own baggage. Women bring baggage to a relationship. Men can bring baggage to a relationship. And when you do that, especially if you have had past relationships that were not healthy or for whatever reason they didn't work, and you may say, well, I think it should be done this way. And if you don't want to compromise or negotiate on how things should be done, it kind of creates this stalemate. So all I'm saying, honestly, is when I listen to him, I know what he's looking for. I know exactly what he wants. But at the same time, women may, and I don't honestly know how what his body language is like. I don't know what his eye language is like. I don't know if he crosses his legs. I don't know if he's the kind of man where he stands with his arms folded, where he indicates that he doesn't want to be approached, just like women have to set themselves up to in a way where they have to be approachable. So I understand the schematics of all this. What I'm looking at, and as I listen to him, it's not only us. I look at this as a way of saying, why are women like this? As opposed to, they do this. What is going on? What is creating the discourse? So women may be reserved. They may be tired of men walking up to them. We don't know the thing. A gentleman in the sense that, you know, do men still give roses? If you saw a woman that was so attractive to you and you really, you know, found her to be elegant and articulate and eloquent, then would you then speak to her in a way that would, you know, garner the attention that you so deserve?
Okay. But you know what? Okay. You made some great points, and I agree with that. But instead of just saying women, let's put everybody in the mix, men and women, you know, because really when you think about it these days, it is a problem both ways. I know because I've gone and sat in some places, and just for the purpose of, you know, a little giggle on, because I already know what's about to happen, just to watch as the men approach the women, you know, and many of them ask them to dance, and they've been, you know, and the women just, they're sitting there, you can tell they want to get out on the floor, but no. But they get up with their girlfriend and go and dance. Now, on the same token, men be in the club, you know, and they so cool, you know, they just going to stand there and look. But when somebody pay them some attention, they don't want to do anything either. So it can't be said that it's one way or the other. I think it's a problem with communication altogether, all around. You know, and unless we learn how to properly communicate, you know, what we want, then this is going to remain a problem. Now, the answer to your question, there is, 2011, 846,000 African-American males in prison, which is 40.2% of the prison population. Now, if you go to 19 to 25, it goes up to like 63% or something like that. I'm posting the website in the link to the website in the chat room. So if y'all want to go and check it out, go right ahead. But, that you know, and then again, another thing we have to pay attention to, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, they think they Jay-Z in the crew. Let's be honest, you know, because they're getting their little ideas off all these videos. And those videos aren't doing much for our generation anyway. I mean, for the society anyway. You know, I see some of them now beginning to back off. But, you know, when you have rappers out there portraying women as subservient, basically that's what they're doing, then there are going to be some men out there that actually think that way. You know, now don't get me wrong, because remember back in the day, TLC came out with the song, I Don't Want No Scrub. Remember that song? So, you know, it's like they're being both. They're being stereotyped both ways. And that's all I got to say right now. This in the chat room we got. I feel many black men feel like Mr. Solution do. I also feel I don't understand why so many men need to control women. I wrote that last sentence. Okay, check this out. Now, it's not that men need to control women and women. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, because y'all know this is true. Some women want men to control them. Let's be honest. Just like some men want women to control them. So it's not that so many men control women. It's it's the women that want men to control them. Now, you know, since we're going to have to clean some of this up because it's getting kind of crazy. What did he become defense? Why did he become defense when I asked the question, how many men are in prison? Well, I don't know. Well, I just told you how many men are in prison. You know, and then, and look, ladies, and here's another issue. You know, and this is an issue that I think that's going on too. Check this out.
Excuse me. Oh, excuse me.
I
you don't listen
too.
Either.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Hey, let me say this before you go on. Do you mind?
Okay, go ahead.
You straddle the fence a lot, and I know you're the host, and you actually end up taking up for women because what you don't do is point the spotlight on what they do that's inappropriate. For example, when you just now said some men want to be controlled by women, well, women will say they don't want those kind of men, but yet they choose those kind of men. So that's their problem. Do you follow that?
Okay, that's their problem?
Well,
I guess
just like when you go into the grocery store and you choose what you want, you can't come out and blame someone for what you purchased.
Oh, well, that's true.
Well, you
that's
purchased
true,
it.
Right.
So when women choose men that are inappropriate, the women have to blame who? Or whom?
Yeah, themselves.
That's the point. And let me say this. In talking to women, and see, this is my style. Everybody has to get used to everybody's style. You'll
right.
never hear me criticize a person's style. I look at the accuracy of their information. Because I understand styles are different, just like personalities are different. But there is a range of acceptability. And women usually want everything their way. I thought you saw that yesterday. The women started out, but then we pounded. We men were relentless to say, hey, this is your minimum level of participation. And then the women got on board, and everything worked out. The women were the brake on the wheel that were causing the problem. And women do not acknowledge when they are the problem. In fact, Hallmark doesn't even have a card where women are apologizing to men. Did you know that?
Well, no, I did not know that one.
Okay.
But let's go back for a moment. Okay.
That's
now,
problematic. Women should apologize when they are wrong. When they're wrong a lot.
And what should men do when they are wrong?
Men should
apologize. We do apologize when we're wrong. Hallmark has a card where men apologize.
I'm not talking about Hallmark having a card. I'm talking about what should men do when they are wrong.
You're not hearing what I'm saying.
Because I'm a woman. When I am wrong, I apologize. And
I will
go.
Oh, well, good for you. I think that's great.
Or not.
Where
everybody
was the last
has a
time
style.
You were wrong? Was it this
you don't
century?
Hear me when unless I'm talking like this. Now,
was
you
it this
can
century
talk
that
all
you
day
were wrong?
Long if you want to, but I will say what I have to say. You are very controlling of the whole conversation. You do not listen to anybody else. It's all about you. Now, see, when I'm coming like this, now you get quiet. When I was talking like this, you
were
all
make your point. I doubt if you have a point, but make your
I
point.
I doubt you have a fucking point.
Okay.
There you go.
There you go now, huh?
All right, let's make your point.
You didn't
let's
like that, did
out.
You, Mr. Solution?
We want the jerk to come
because
out.
Because you don't have a solution. You talk around everybody that's a woman. You don't want to take a side or anything, and then you just want jibber-jabber all the time. You
okay,
make
you don't know what you're talking
all
about.
All over the place. When Cosmo was on the phone and she was talking to you, you were talking about this point over here, talking about that point over there. It was one point that she made about men in prison. You just blew up. You became real defensive. When I said something about your mother and everything, you became real defensive. Why you always got to be defensive? I wasn't on the phone earlier. I was dealing with some clients. Well, if I was one of her clients, I wouldn't want to deal with either.
Okay, what's your solution, by the way? Do you have a solution?
Yeah, my solution for you, yes, I do have a solution.
Be nasty like you are. That's your nature. Be nasty, please.
Well, just the other day, you were kind of woman a bitch.
All right. We ain't even going there.
Did you?
Well, she was.
Okay, then, well, you being a fucking asshole. Hey.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Now, it wasn't you. It wasn't you, but you're going to. Now, Eric, now you allowed that?
No, Eric, huh? No.
This is not going to happen.
Eric.
Okay, now we fixed that. Wow.
Eric?
Okay. Yeah, what up? All right, now, as I mentioned before, y'all, when you get to calling, when you get to calling names, and can I understand, you know, it gets heated. But you will not be calling each other out your names. I said that before. And I said if that was to happen, arguments are going to start. What I was going to do, I was going to mute you. And I am muting. All right? So let's get it like adults. Please, let's talk like adults here. We've been doing good, okay? All right. Now, both of them were muted, not just her. I muted Mr. Solution, too. So there. All right. Now, peace, be still. Okay. Here we go.
You know, hey, Eric?
Solution? Yes, I'm
Eric?
Here. Yes.
Okay, that was very unfair, and I'm going to tell you why. Because she was the one, and you heard her,
she was the one
that called me the effing a-hole. Now,
right.
The thing of it is that women will lose their cool first because they don't want to be accountable. So now, the point of it is she started it. And penalizing both people for what one started is wrong.
Oh, well, I just because both of you were going at it and neither
well,
one.
Well, no, we weren't. I just simply said, I just simply repeated. Now, it proves what she is because, look, this is the bottom line. This is the best place for us to fight. If you were in a relationship with a woman like that, and make no mistake about it, that woman is going to cause problems. She is a problem. And so it's best for it to come out here, for her to see herself, because women are often wrong. They don't have the same responsibility as men. Society does not place the same responsibility upon women as it does men, but it gives women the same rights. So that gives women an arrogance that's completely undeserved, and it's very destructive.
Okay, hold that thought. I got another caller. Hold that thought. Ooh, well, good afternoon. Let's talk. What's on your mind?
Hello. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Well, hi, sir. I've spoken with you before. This is Slawuddin from New York City. I've also spoken with Mr. Solution, and quite frankly, he's as eloquent as always, and very insightful and astute. There are a lot of, particularly in the men's rights movement, there's a lot of literature really confirming what Mr. Solution is saying. I mean, this is not just his opinion. Brifolt's Law, Ernest Belfort backs The Myth of Male Power by Warren Farrell. There are a lot of books about the female persona, female privilege. They have a lot of rights and virtually no responsibility or accountability at all. We live in a society that's primarily misandric, which means it's against males. And you can see from the media to the educational system, the feminist movement has really run roughshod over males and is being used as an instrument to marginalize and disenfranchise males. A lot of males, what I see in Mr. Solution, which I'm very gratified about, he has self-respect as a male. He doesn't seem to be cowardly and afraid to cite female dysfunction. I see a lot of males that are terrified. They, you know, treat women as though have this atavistic, anachronistic perspective of women like they're, you know, flowers, you know, that should be taken care of. But the social contract has changed. They tore it up. They define themselves not by being humble and subservient and deferential to men as they used to be. They define being a good woman now as being selfish, anti-family, but they want men to adhere to the same criteria of being providers and protectors, but yet they've redefined themselves what they want us to make, which, of course, is a double standard and can loosely be stated as oppression. But, you know, again, I appreciate Mr. Solution because he's one of the few. I've heard him several times on BTR, different shows, and he's been one of the most forthright in terms of citing female for their dysfunction.
Ah, okay. Hmm.
And Eric, thank you for that, Saladin. But, Eric, let me say this. Most men are pussies in America. America has become gynocracized. It's a gynocracy. It's ruled by women. Now, the problem with that is, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Women don't invent and maintain anything, but they exercise this tertiary control over everything. It's in the law. It's in every aspect. And the moment you talk to a woman about responsibility, she gets pissed because she doesn't feel she should have any responsibility toward you. There's a standing joke that says, how do you solve a problem between two women? You put a man in the room, because if a man is not there, they can't blame anybody. And most men have become, you know, I talk about men who sit on a toilet seat and urinate, and that's what women want. Women want to be in control without any responsibility. And I understand this from a legal, a psychological, a religious, and an emotional point of view. I understand it from a historic point of view. Like Saladin just said, women tore up the contract. There was a contract between men and women. Women redefined it to be complete meism, narcissism.
Mm-hmm.
So look up the definition of bitch. When you get a that's a good word. And I'll just tell you what it means, but you look it up and verify the etymology of it. It means a spiteful, malicious, and domineering woman. And America is a proving ground for bitches. It's a training ground.
Wait a minute. Eric, now.
Hello.
They were muted earlier for using F and A-hole and all this.
Yeah. Okay,
and now he has to go in and try to justify the words of what he considers women are in a demeaning factor. Let me say this, and I'm going to remove myself from the element period. If you're not going to set the rules and sort of, you know, have the rules set for everybody, you can't do this where I have favoritism because this is my boy, this is the show, and basically we're just going to come in here and beat women down, and we're going to say this to them. I'm going to say this. In my reality, I have a man, I have a home, I have children, okay? I have a son that's in college right now. To sit up here and feel like men aren't anything, it's so far from me. But what it does let me know is that I feel bad for men, and I feel bad for women who have to deal with each other with a mindset like this. You have people that don't want to get along and they want to be right, whatever the reason. We have a dysfunction within that. When you have men that want to say, well, women have this, and they're, you know, I see a lot of male privilege. I see a lot of white privilege. We could go through the privileges. But what I find is that every time you hit Mr. Solution and throw something at him, he becomes irate, but it's swept under the rug because, well, that was only in response to. As if when the women are slapped in the face and they were in response to it, then you can say, see, it's like when I pointed out, well, how many men are locked up in prison? Can you give me that statistic? Yeah, well, go ahead and find out where the women are.
Yeah.
And how many are lesbian and how many are this? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, so why did you fly off the handle at that time? See, this is more about just pointing out the flaws of a woman. And you're right because you're a man. Now, I said that. Now, I'm going to mute myself so I don't have to say anything.
Well, I think if I may say, that's kind of a casuistry of the principles that we stated. The reason I can't speak for Mr. Solution, but I speak for myself. You know, if we didn't care, we wouldn't be incensed. We wouldn't be. It's not in the vacuum that we feel this way. We're aggrieved by the demographic of black females, even when it comes to crime. We have statistics, but we have to look at the, you know, have some analysis of what those statistics mean of male or black male incarceration, even black male on male crime in the inner cities and throughout the country. since the early 1940s, I mean the early 1960s, I'm sure Mr. Solution is familiar with the Daniel Patrick, former senator, U.S. Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, in the early 1960s, did a study on the black family, a famous study, Crisis in the Black Family. The findings of that study and that crisis was the preternatural dominance of the black female in the family. This is from the 1960s, the advent of the welfare state, where black women chose to have the government be its man and just use men as sperm donors and for sex. So that was the beginning of a lot of promiscuity in the black. After slavery and before around the 1950s, before the advent of the welfare state, of TANF, aid for women independent children, and black males were pretty much excluded from that dynamic at that point, the black family reconstituted. Some people think that slavery, that we are simply a product of slavery. No, the black family reconstituted. This is verifiable to a point where the black family was more intact than the white family was in the 40s up to the 50s. So,
when you get a chance to let Mr. Solutions actually address what I had to say before you so eloquently decided to throw out the statistics about the welfare and the women.
I just want to make one more comment. I know you're not the moderator. Can I please finish my comment?
What I'm saying is that I addressed Mr. Solutions, and I was waiting for his rebuttal.
Okay, well, I didn't know that, and you didn't specifically state that, so I'd like to finish my statement and not be interrupted.
You weren't listening to it because I was pointing this out, and you made this point to come in here.
Eric, can I just please finish my statement? I think she's just being maybe a bit vindictive. I just want to finish my statement.
I think it's relevant.
So in terms of the issue of black male incarceration, the fact that black females are the black family is about 70% single-parent female-headed. How can you blame the black people? So the children, if they're being raised to be criminals, I think it behooves us to understand that it's the parent who's there teaching them and raising them, or being a failure to raise them, instead of the parent who's not there. So I think that most of the onus of black males growing up to be dysfunctional should be on the black female who is there raising them.
Okay. All right, Mr. Solution. Would you like to respond? Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, Eric, I'm coming right between your eyes, if you don't mind. Do you mind?
You go right ahead.
You're not coming between my eyes, but you can take your point. I'm
not talking to you at this juncture. What I'm saying,
Eric,
I'm talking to you at
this juncture.
Okay.
Since you want to be dismissive.
Do you mind being muzzled just for a moment?
Do you mind just speaking? Eric, you see this
inappropriateness. I don't know if you want to address it or not.
Nobody's this man's child. This is why he don't have a woman. He thinks somebody's his child.
Okay. Peace. Be still. Nobody say nothing. Okay. Cool. Now. All right. Take a breath, everybody. Relax. Okay? You're not a hand. Thank you. Okay. Now, Mr. Solution.
Got a hand when a woman speaks, isn't it?
Mr.
Solution.
It's
always got a hand when we speak, isn't it?
No. Everybody was speaking. But then,
Mr. Solution, it's always a problem with us, Eric.
Huh?
And you ain't saying nothing.
Well, I'm trying to let you, Mr. Solution, respond to your statement earlier.
Eric, first of all, I don't remember what she said. If you don't mind repeating it, I will respond to it, though. What did she say?
I was saying earlier that I noticed that in the conversation of me asking about how many men were in prison, it was following the statement that there was you made a comment about Joe saying that women are not good wives and not good girlfriends, and if you went on to state that it's about 70% of women not married or whatever, and I'm saying, well, how many men are locked up in prison that can't be men or husbands or whatever to these women?
Respond. I love to respond to that. I'm your huckleberry. That's just my game. Look, the problem is this. As Saul Hadeem was eloquently and very factually pointing out, that is the primary parent, who's usually the woman, who is raising these men and women, young males and females, to be criminals. There's a direct link between the parent. You know, there's an old adage in the Catholic Church, Roman Catholic Church, that says the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Women do not want to take accountability. Now, Eric, usually when I hear a person say it goes both ways, that usually means they don't know how it goes either way. And what they're simply doing is deflecting. If we want to resolve this problem, and I noticed that many of us, because we thrive off of confusion, there are problems that men contribute. There are, you know, efforts. There's contributions that men have to the problem. Usually the problem that men...
I want to say this. I have a book right now.
Usually the problem that men contribute is not standing up, being too weak.
Yes.
Okay. Now,
I mean,
I
hear voices.
Jawanza Kanjufu called Countering the Conspiracy to Destroy the Black Boy.
I read it. Four volumes. Four
volumes. Is my mic open?
Okay,
are you familiar with this book?
Hello?
What's the name of the book?
Countering the Conspiracy to Destroy the Black Boy.
It's a four-volume, primarily talks about the school system. It talks also about... It also talks about medicating children.
Solutions. Are you familiar with this book? Because
is my mic open,
Eric?
Yes, your mic is open.
Okay, I couldn't tell. There's feedback. What happens, I was trying to say, is that anytime there is the attempt... Okay, what I was saying is that men are weak today. They've been pussified. They have been scared to not step up and face female tyranny. Most of you women are out of control. They don't want to hear what men have to say. They try to reclassify and recategorize it to where they get out of any of the points that a man is making. Now, they want a man, but only for a sperm donor and a wallet. They just want a man to be a lapdog and a servant, not to be a full person. And the law helps them do that. So you have all these women flying in here. Sure, Michael Basden and people like, what's the other guy, the comedian. They cater to women. Women are their market. So they're not going to try and correct women because women fuel them. Women are their market, as I say. So they're not going to offer any corrective behavior to women, no matter how out of control they are. But the fact that so many males are in prison is the direct result of female-headed households. Make no mistake about it.
Hello, am I still on the air?
Yes, you are.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, I didn't want to interrupt. And I just want to say, Eric, you know, I'm not, when I was talking with the lady, the woman, I was just not going to allow myself, as Mr. Thlu said, to be bullied. I've seen on other shows where males thought they want to play the white knight with a woman who's still not playing by the rules. You know, the traditional modality in which we interacted with each other, the women, their strength was their humility, was their nurturance, was their sweetness. And this breed of females that we have, there's another book by Shahrazad Ali, probably you read it, The Black Man's Guide to Understanding the Black Woman. And in her book, it was somewhat controversial in the 90s. In her book, she stated that, I quote, and this is a female herself, that black women are uncivilized and that they're in need of being civilized by their men, by black men, even to the extent of corporal punishment. Now, I'm not saying I would go that far. I'd rather leave you than beat and lay my hands on you because that's the setup. I'm not going to jail over some obstreperous or histrionic female. But as Mr. Solution said, there are in psychopathology, in the diagnostic and statistical manual of mental disorders, there are certain diagnoses, categories of diagnoses that are specifically are endemic to females, such as narcissistic personality disorder. I mean, you can look it up. Histrionic personality disorder, borderline personality disorder. So I'm saying to you that you have women who have been indoctrinated, and this is not bashing. Some people, because of their fragile egos, and we all have weak egos. You know, we all have to. But you have to admit that it's your ego, because if you can't take constructive criticism, you have to question a person's maturity, particularly if I come up with you with facts. Propaganda is promoting fiction is fact. When I give you facts, then in analysis with those facts, what I'm doing is promoting truth, which we can use to perhaps evolve beyond this situation. So this conflict that we have is because there are some basic problems, and this is the means by which in group therapy and 12-step programs, you know, people have conflict to resolve it, like we're doing now. Even the woman, she's staying on the line. We're all staying on the line because we care enough to confront. This is not negative. We're purging ourselves. And we're trying to come to some understanding. We're not saying that men haven't contributed to this, the problems in the black community, but we are saying, you know, realistically, despite the propaganda, the women have contributed a great deal more. United States Department of Health and Human Services, women are 3 times more likely to abuse children than men. You can look it up. It's on the internet. You know, women, black women have above all other people. You know, the Planned Parenthood was created by the eugenicist movement, Margaret Sanger, who was an arch white supremacist, and they were inducing black women to commit to have abortions or to induce them to have sterilization. Black women, since the early 70s, Roe versus Wade, abortion has been legalized, have aborted about 15 million black children, 15 million or more. And this, so we're looking at the behavior of this demographic of black women, the behavior, the verbal abuse and psychological abuse heaped upon young black males, where they wind up hating themselves as males, having antagonism towards women, and there's no analysis of that. It's just, well, that's just the way they are. No, that's not an explanation. That's a cop-out. So I think, you know, it's important for us to have this conversation. We don't hate black women. We just love ourselves. And we're not going to tolerate the intolerable, you know, simply because a woman throws a tantrum. And that's what I'm saying. I think the woman on the phone was pretty much throwing tantrums. I'm not throwing a tantrum. I will hang up the phone before I get into a pointless argument. But I'm here because I care enough to confront. And that's all I'm here for.
All right. You know, Eric, I actually like that. Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Solution.
Yeah, let me make this point hurriedly because I don't want it to be lost. You know, Jesus talked about the different kinds of unreasonable non-adults in the New Testament. He says, you know, John the Baptist came, and John the Baptist was pretty austere. And it said, you're like children playing in the marketplace. You didn't want to hear what he had to say. And here I come, I socialize with you. You remember John the Baptist was one crying in the wilderness. And so he says, I come and I, you know, socialize with you, and you call me a wine bibber and a drunkard, which was a lie, by the way. So notice Saul has deemed, he's more eloquent than I am from a speech.
I don't think so. I listen to you a lot. Sorry, Mr. Solista, I really love to listen to you.
Let me just make a point, if you will, please.
Sure, sure.
More eloquent than I am, and he comes with a smoother presentation. And that's fine. That's his style. I like his style. I listen to it. But you notice, I'm going to read to you what the women said about him. Does this dude from New York have a woman, or does he read books all day long on woman bashing? Now, notice the parable that I just gave you. They're not satisfied with any presentation. If it's holding them accountable. Most women today, particularly black women, but American women, period, are with Jesus Christ. Unemployed, and, you know, he spent too much time hanging out with the fellows, and so on and so forth. But these women, anything a man says, unless it's being a doormat, in all caps, they're not going to be satisfied. Now, this is most women. This is about, and I'm going to give it a percentage, this is about 80 to 90% of women.
Okay.
If it's that high,
that?
It's 100% most men are going to meet that they're not going to be good girlfriend or good wife material. But they're not satisfied with any male presentation that holds them accountable. Most women.
Wow. Woo. All right. All right. Everybody take a moment to take that in. Okay. And that's another religion that admonishes women. What? Most men are not going to be good husband material either.
If I may say,
I want to.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
right, out of the park. Right. Say when.
Huh?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Mr. Solution, please.
Yeah. Well, the thing of it is this. If women are controlling the paradigm, if they're controlling the atmosphere, then men can't be any better than they allow. Because most men, and Dr. What is his name? John Gray said this in a statement, and he said it very quickly. The host had to replay it to pick it up. He said, men care more about women than women care about men. And I guarantee you, everything we said today has corroborated that. Because men are willing to give to stray and strange women. Women are not willing to give to men for the most part, except for the Satan and Dracula type. Now, that type they'll give to. But the good man, the quality man, no. And he's persona non grata. And a good quality man, those are not the first characteristics and criteria that a woman looks for. She looks for the superficiality in men, so the men that she has raised, by the way. And she looks for things like excitement. She looks for things like, he makes me laugh, which none of these things have to do with the qualities of an enduring mate. So most of the requirements that a woman has on her list for a man they're superficial. They're not good. Now, they'll complain about men not being good, but they never make the good a priority.
Okay.
Close quote.
Close quote. All right, lady, response?
And one other thing, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Women will not come with any specificity. Okay, specificity will require a woman to think and behave differently than she does. This whole damn problem could be resolved in the simple solution I gave earlier. Women need to reciprocate. They've changed the social contract. So now, remember, women will—they want to pick from column A and column B. They make this look like some sort of a smorgasbord thing. But in the 40s and 50s, a man would show interest in a woman. She would invite him to her home, and that served a very important purpose. He got to see her in the home environment, whether she would make a good mate or not, whether she could cook, whether she had domestic capabilities, and if things went well, he went to church with her. So it was a family involvement. What women have salvaged from that is that men should now spend money on them in the new 21st century. In other words, all men, all these dating situation now consists of are men spending money on women, buying them dinner. And I think you guys heard about the woman in New York. She was on Match.com. She had a spreadsheet where she was euchering and jipping men out of as much as $1,200 a month to support her exorbitant food habits. So women have turned the generosity of men on its head. They're taking advantage of men. They're scamming and flim-flamming men. And women don't want to acknowledge their crap. And this is where we need to fight it out, because it's going to be a battle. And just like Saladin said, and I agree with this 100%, I know a lot of women need their butt kicked, their butts kicked. I'm not going to kick it because of the system, but I do not disagree inherently with a woman being beaten or hit. But the point of it is a man of quality wants to avoid a woman that would create a conflagration that would lead to him having to be physical with her. But I'm not against a woman being, hit.
Go back. You say you're not against a woman being hit?
Right. And let me see. There's a guy on YouTube. Let's see. What is his name? The James Bond guy. I forget his name. But he was Barbara Walters tried to get him to disagree with his early appointment.
Christian Bale, you mean? Was it Christian Bale?
No, well, what was the other one, the older guy, all of them were British.
Remington Steele, the guy who played Remington Steele?
First one.
Okay, so.
Oh, Sean Connery.
Sean Connery, yes. You can look that up. Thank you. You can look that up on YouTube. Barbara Walters tried to get him to recant where he was saying that it was appropriate to strike a woman, he said, with an open hand if she just won't stop needling you. That's basically what he said. But my position is this, and I agree with Saul Adeem, and I say this to men all the time. You want to see if a woman is the kind of person that will push you to violence with her, and that kind of woman you want to avoid. But this is a good proving ground to see what type of women are. Can they handle the truth about themselves?
Okay, let's go back for a moment. Okay. Because you really got something that I can't agree with. Number one, why would you want to push anybody to the point to violence?
Well, women do that all the time. Women will say that they want a man who will put them in check. And I tell them that's psychotic. Now, Saul Hadeem referred to the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, and I believe that's volume 4. Considered the Bible for mental health care workers. And a lot of women are borderline, and they're psychotic. And one of the reasons for that is society places no responsibility upon women.
Exactly.
Women have all options, no responsibility. Women don't have to register for the Selective Service. And
that
is powerful. Women have all the reproductive rights. The court will support them in that.
Mm-hmm.
Women can allege rape when they know they're lying. Over half of rape allegations are lies. They're proven to be lies. So what happens, and women don't have to initiate and pay for dates. So the problem, the situation is women are not required in America to be adults. And that's the reason you have a lot of these little young girls, and I don't give a damn if they're 35, 40 years old, they're still little girls. They're name-calling, they're talking about misogyny, and they don't even know what it is. They are misandry.
Exactly. And they hate men, yes.
More importantly, they hate male authority. They want to gut men. They want men to be these disembodied creatures that they can just sort of they want men to be automatons, robots that they control. And that's most women. And they go off on these meaningless tangents. I say to women, step up, initiate communication with men, socialize with men, show yourself to be an adult partner, and stop being a little girl in an adult female body, which the vast majority of women in America today are.
Exactly.
Okay. I know exactly what I got to do now. All right. Well
can I make a comment? Can I make a comment?
Okay, make it quick.
Okay. Talking about psychotherapy, Sigmund Freud posited the theory of penis envy. That's been somewhat swept under the rug, that women resent and are envious of male power and the phallic symbol. You notice a lot in the films on television, a lot of the attacks are on the male genitalia. You know, that's a part of the feminist-driven media. So there's a lot of psychological and sociological subliminal messages, or overt, actually, about the female mentality and how they purport to be, this is the irony, the paradox. They purport to be seeking power, but the feminist movement really has codified a white knight syndrome, that now just not their that it's not simply an expectation or a courtesy, that all men must defer to women and engage them and empower them. You hear women talk about being empowered, that they're powerful, that they achieve what they did of their own volition and of their own agency. That is not true. They're billions of dollars being poured into female-oriented institutions in the colleges and throughout through VAWA, violence against the ERA, Roe versus Wade, of course, but those in fact have been posited in the men's rights movement that many of those laws that are exclusively for women, according to the 14th Amendment, equal protection under the law, are unconstitutional. Again, what the feminist movement has done is embedded within our culture female privilege, and it's using victimhood and shaming tactics. We're using, as Mr. Solution astutely said, using our goodwill and our love of women by them telling us that men have been the oppressors of women, when men have been the protectors, when men have been the ones who allowed women to, and they said that women weren't working, that there were professions throughout history like nursing and teaching that men were pretty much excluded from, that were dominated by seamstresses, that were dominated by women. So it's a lot of what they're proposing in terms of the relationship between men and women, even historically in terms of evolution, is really a falsehood. You know, women, even though we're maybe male-dominated, it's always been female-centered. Men have been doing what they have done, have died for the protection of women, for women's comfort, yet they show no gratitude. They show none whatsoever. So that's the most immoral. And one more thing. Warren Fowle of the who wrote that he
Dude,
was...
Dude, don't you have your own show? Don't you have your own Blog Talk Radio show? Saladin. Don't you have your own Blog Talk show? The reason I'm asking that is because you're taking his show and you're making a lot of points that I've read your Blog Talk profile about.
I'd like to finish what I was saying.
Okay, let him finish, please. Let him finish.
So basically, this is substitutes. I'm not going to let you derail me. The bottom line is that the feminist movement and in terms of really establishing a viable relationship in terms of with men and women would be the reinstitution of the family. So, but women seem to want to maintain authority in the household to the exclusion of males, and then they blame males with whom they have expelled. About 83% of all divorces are initiated by women. You can verify this with the U.S. Census Bureau. So there's a lot of statistics to show you that the women who are claiming victimhood are not victims, but they're volunteers. And they're not accepting that sociologically that the basis of their malaise, and even today, I mean, this statistic came out recently. I'm sure Mr. Solution probably heard of it.
That
women now, after 40 years of the feminist movement, are expressing lower quality of life indices and satisfaction with life than they did 40 years ago when they were mostly housewives. So that's my spiel. Thank you.
I'm gonna say this because I need to say this. I hear a lot of misogyny, a lot of hatred and dislike toward women. Period. And more, and when you talk about the dynamics of females and whatnot, I also feel like a lot of this is about your own personal upbringing and the women in your family. And so when a lot of people, especially women, they'll grow up and go to school for psychology. Well, I've noticed that there are more men now that have engaged in psychology. Some of the top psychologists were men, like Freud and Pavlov and a few others. The point I'm making is that when you sit here and you start trying to quote the Bible, you want to blame something on women. Let's look at the story of Adam and Eve. Okay, Eve came back for what, according to the story, she came back. So here, Adam, eat of this fruit. And he's like, but I thought, see, tell me something. Does a man not have his own damn mind to think, to say no, I ain't eating that fruit? You can eat it, but I ain't. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is more about blame. Let's blame the woman. I have no responsibility in this. You want to go through all of this stuff and say, well, the phallus and this guy, this man, look at here. These people have replicated half of the images out of Egypt and brought them to the Americas. So all of this phallus and stuff, that has a lot of homosexual overtones. A lot of this stuff that you're trying to bring forth out and say, well, this is what's going on, some of the stuff you ain't got shit to do with black people. This is a game or war that has everything to do with the Greeks, the Romans, and everybody else that brought something from somewhere else right over here. Yes, you, for whatever reason, danced around it. When I said, let's talk about the black boy and countering the conspiracy, you wanted to say, well, because of this, and move on from that. Let me tell you something. It is not my fault, it is not my problem if you can't find a woman who works well for you. Some of this is about dictatorship. Instead of looking at a woman and saying, you know what, you are my partner. I'm not even going to use the word equal, because when you use that word, it turns into something, and people want to debate that much more. So with all due respect, Eric, this is my last time calling into your show. I've enjoyed it. I found it to be more than anything repulsive. Have a great day. Take care.
All right, all right. Woo. All right, y'all. That's the 5-minute warning. So you know what? It's time to for my little closing spiel. So everybody's been mooted now. Oh, Lord. Well, what I want to say is, wow, that was a very spirited conversation for sure. Now, before we go, let me put my piece on this. Now, Mr. Saladin, I understand what you're saying, brother, and I do agree with a little bit what you're saying. However, I must say that being that a veteran in the military, I have to agree with you because I have worked side by side with women and that have fought just as hard as men, and we actually, some of the women I rather had on my side than some of the men, and that's for sure. The reinstatement of the family, you know, you can say whatever you want to, but let's be honest, the woman is the foundation of the family. Without the woman, there is no family. Let's be honest with that. I know we men like to think, yeah, we the glue, but no, the woman is the glue, and it's been that way for years. Okay? So, I mean, these are my points. This is what I believe. Okay? Now, so, that is what I want to say. You know, I mean, it's really crazy because you're talking about the feminist movement and this movement. Well, why we got to have any, see, and here's what I'm talking about. Here comes again, communication. Now, you said all your speech. You said, y'all said what y'all had to say. The women said what they have to say. Yet, have we taken the time to sit down and agree on anything? And you know why? Because we still aren't communicating. We're not talking with each other. We're still talking at and to each other. That's not working, people. That's not working. And each day on this show, we get in an argument, which is fine. I don't have no problem with the argument. But somebody gets upset, and then the name calling starts. And what happens when name calls? Everything from there on, nobody's listening to because everybody is upset. That's all I'm saying. So until we learn to communicate, there's nothing going to work. As far as this feminist movement, if it was, it is. Okay? Personally, I myself, I guess I was raised to, you know, treat everybody the right way. So if a woman is don't want to come and walk up to me, that's fine. I'll go up to her. If she wants to come up to me, that's even better. You know, but I'm not going to hold it against them. You know, I mean, maybe that's just, like I said before, that's my opinion. And maybe I'm just in a different environment. Or a different frame of mind. But that's the way I am. All right, y'all. Well, y'all know what? That's the show for the day. And I really, really, really appreciate everybody coming. But you know what? Tomorrow we'll be back again from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. And you know what? I think tomorrow... We're going to do this. We're going to have a show on relationships. That's right. And we're going to see if we can work this out without the arguing and all that other stuff. Because I think that's something we need to do now. Get to relationships among men and women, you know, and figure out how we can communicate with each other. Yeah, I think that's what we're going to do tomorrow. But anyway, thank you all for listening to Blog Talk Radio's Let's Talk. I'm your host, Eric Jackson. Hey, you know, but until then, y'all have a great day, and I'm out of here.